हरे कृष्णा, एम आई ऑडिबल बिहाइंड? माइक इज ऑन. ओके, सो टुडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग द सुप्रीमली ऑस्पिशियस ओकेजन ऑफ द अपियरेंस ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा. एंड ऑन दिस डे आई विल स्पीक ब्रीफली अबाउट द वे इन विच कृष्णा अपियर्ड and what its significance is for us. The Bhagavad Gita describes sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord who is always present in our own hearts. However, though he is present, our consciousness is not tuned to his presence. Our consciousness is turned away from him towards the many objects of this world, hoping that we will get pleasure through these objects. And because of that, although Krishna is present, it is almost as if he is not present for us. So, to remind us of life's eternal purpose, of life's eternal values, he descends time and time again. He descends so that we all can understand and remember what is life's ultimate purpose. And we are also caught in doing many things in life. Oh, I have to get this, I have to cook this food, I have to clean this house, I have to do my job, I have to take care of my children, I have to do this. We are often so caught on doing many things in life. But in doing many things in life, we often tend to forget what to do with life. There's what to do in life and what to do with life. What does that mean? In life means we all have many decisions to make. Do this, do that, do that. But ultimately, what is life meant for? So we live in this world and we always long for something lasting. Now if we have a house which is rented, we want to have our own house, because it will be a permanent place for us. So we always long for something lasting. When we want to form relationships, we want lasting relationships. So where does this longing for lasting relationships come from? It actually comes from our core. If there's an African child in a remote tribe, and suddenly that African child who has no connection with the outer world goes to his mother and says, "Mom, I want a pizza." Now, the first thing the mother will ask is, "Where did you hear about a pizza? There's nothing in the child's neighborhood which will even give him any idea of a pizza." So, similarly, if we look at the world around us, everything here is temporary. Nothing lasts forever. And yet, every one of us has a desire to live forever and to love forever. So, where does this desire come from? If it is not coming from our externals, and nothing in our externals lasts forever, then the desire must be coming not from our externals but from our internals. So our very longing for lasting life and lasting love points to a core within us which lasts forever. And that core, the Bhagavad Gita explains, is the Atma, the soul. And this Atma, the soul, is eternally connected with the Supreme Soul. That Supreme Soul is Krishna. It's known by different names in different traditions. The word Krishna is an inclusive name which indicates his attractiveness in all its dimensions. Sarva akarshati iti Krishna. One who attracts everyone, that Supreme Absolute Truth, that ultimate reality, is known by the name Krishna. And when we are exploring various relationships in this world, We are attracted to different people because of the various qualities that they have. But Krishna has all the qualities that everyone has in fullness. Yad yad vibhuti matsattvam shri madurjitam eva va tatta deva avagachattvam mamatejomishasambhava. Krishna says that whatever attractiveness anyone has, that is a spark of his splendor. So we have various relationships and we get various degrees of pleasures in those relationships. Whatever pleasure we get in any of our relationships, that pleasure is like a drop. And if we can learn to love Krishna, the pleasure thereof is like an ocean. And Krishna descends to show us the way to that ocean. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. Krishna says he descends to this world so that we can become attracted to him and we can ultimately attain him. So it is on for this purpose, for helping us to fulfill our innate longing for lasting life and lasting love, that Krishna descends. Now, there are two levels of reality. There is the spiritual reality and there is the material reality. We can say it's like a two-story building. So we live presently at the material level of reality. We want more and more material objects and we hope to get more and more pleasure through that. However, everything at the material level is temporary. The soul, which is who we are, belongs to the spiritual level of reality. And the soul longs for that spiritual level with its eternal life and its eternal love. So Krishna exists eternally at the spiritual level of reality, and from there he descends to this material level. And he descends here to attract us to the spiritual level. So we often live in like a tunnel vision of reality. At the material level, we crave for various things, we slave for various things. Sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't get them. But life simply goes on. And then life ends with death. So that ultimate frustration of life and all our dreams, that happens because we are existing at the material level, which is temporary. And Krishna wants to attract us to the spiritual level. So Krishna descended about several thousands of years ago on this very day in the sacred land of the Mathura Mandala. Krishna came as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and he also appeared in this world and he was known as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So Krishna appeared in a very dramatic and we could say even drastic situation. Generally, when our life is going on in an ordinary way, we all have our problems and we feel I can deal with those problems. So at that time, we don't feel the need for anyone higher. We don't feel the need for God. But when we face problems which we realize I can't deal with this problem, that's when we wonder, is there some higher being towards whom I can turn and who may be able to help me? So such was the situation that had enveloped the earth and indeed the universe thousands of years ago when Krishna appeared. The ferocious, cruel demon Kamsa. And this Kamsa was so atrocious that he had turned against his entire family. He had imprisoned his own father. He had arrested and put in tyrannical subjugation his relatives. And all that because he had a great hunger for power. And because of this hunger for power, anybody who he felt was a threat to him, he tried to either eliminate them or incarcerate them, imprison them. In fact, his own sister, his cousin sister Devaki, was almost like his real sister. They had been so close to each other. But when he came to know that her son would become a threat for him, would kill him, he completely turned against her. So Devaki was married to Vasudev, and Devaki and Vasudev were going in their wedding procession on a chariot, and Kamsa was driving that chariot. Such was his show of affection that he wanted the whole world to know, see what a wonderful, beautiful brother I am. I am driving the chariot. I am the monarch. But I am acting like a menial charioteer for my sister. Such is my love for her. So for him, his driving the chariot was not so much because of his affection for his sister. It was more for displaying his affection to the sister, to the world. Let the world know what a wonderful brother I am. So when he, many times when people come to the temple, we come to the temple to take darshan of the Lord. But sometimes when people who are very big VIPs, they come to the temple, if it's a pious society, then they feel I'll take a photo of myself, put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram, and my followers will appreciate, oh, you're such a nice person, you go to a temple also. So such people go to a temple not to take darshan but to give darshan. They go to the temple to show the world how pious I am. So they are more of exhibitionists. So Kamsa was like that. He was exhibiting his love for his sister, but actually he had very little love. And as he was driving the chariot, suddenly a celestial voice spoke. You foolish Kamsa, this very sister whom you are driving, her 8th child will become the cause of your death. He will kill you. Now this voice, from where it had come, who had spoken it, nobody could understand it. It's just a disembodied voice coming from the sky. As soon as he heard it, Kamsa's disposition completely changed. He turned around, caught Devaki by the hair, pulled out his sword, was about to lop off her head, said, your son will kill me, before that I will kill you. So the descent of Krishna, the Krishna Lila itself, begins by demonstrating in a very scary way how flickering relationships in this world can be. The same person who shows so much affection for us at one time, next moment they can just completely turn against us. Now Devaki was just married to Vasudev, and Vasudev was also a powerful king. But at the same time, he didn't want to have an open all-out war against Kamsa right in the venue where the wedding had taken place. And Kamsa was also extremely powerful, very dangerous. So then Vasudev tried to persuade Kamsa. He told him, he tried various ways to persuade, and finally he told, when Kamsa was not ready to listen to any philosophy, he told him, see, you have no threat from Devaki. Your threat is from Devaki's sons. So I promise you that whatever children Devaki has, we will hand them over to you. We will let Devaki go. Vasudev realized that for him to make such a promise like this, that I will hand over my sons to you, this is a great, great sacrifice for him to make. But he, when a problem can't be solved immediately, then the best thing that we can do is defer it. Defer it. In future, maybe situations will be better and we might be able to solve it. So Vasudev was thinking, who knows? Maybe we may not have any children. Devaki's life will be saved. Or maybe if it's forecast that Devaki's son will kill Kamsa, then that's what will happen in some inconceivable way. Let me do the best that I can right now. Vasudev had tried to use persuasion to try to deter Kamsa. But when he didn't listen, then he had to do what he had to do. So after that, Kamsa, when he heard these words, Vasudeva was known to be a very truthful person. And thus, he accepted his assurance and he released Vasudeva and Devaki. And now, Kamsa was an evil person, but for him, his bane, the cause of his ruin, was not just his demoniac nature. Actually, he had associates who were even more demoniac than him. Generally, all of us, we all have our good moments and our bad moments. Sometimes some noble desires come within us. Sometimes some terrible desires come within us. So we all go through these emotions at various times. But it is the association around us that determines which of these moments we will act on. Sometimes you may get some good desires. Say somebody say, today is Janmashtami. Somebody, it's Krishna's appearance, let's go to a temple. You may say like that, but if our association is completely materialistic, why go to a temple? Just enjoy. Forget it. So even if a good desire comes up, if the association is negative, that desire gets suppressed. On the other hand, if a negative desire comes up, if somebody is an alcoholic and they want to give up alcohol, but if all their friends are alcoholic and this person says, I'm going to be sober, the friends say, come on, drink. No, I'm not going to drink. Just take one drink. What is the big deal? People often say that, you drink but don't become a drunk. That's like saying, go to the edge of a cliff but don't fall down. Well, why go to the edge of a cliff at all? But anyway, Kamsa, he had his evil moments, he had his good moments. But his associates, they fanned his lower side. So when Kamsa told his friends, this is what had happened. So they said, you have to be very careful. Then Vasudeva, he kept an eye on Vasudeva, but still he trusted Vasudeva. Then Vasudeva had his first child. And when he had that child, at that time he, with a heavy heart, brought his son to Kamsa. And Kamsa was amazed to see the truthfulness of Vasudeva. And he said, sacrifice you are doing here is inconceivable. He says, I am pleased to see how truthful you are. But I have no need for the first son. The danger I have is from the eighth son. So take him back. He took him back and Vasudeva went away. But Vasudeva knew, because Kamsa's mind was so fickle, that he could not be trusted. So although he took his son away, still he was apprehensive. And then Kamsa's friends came along and he told them that Vasudeva had brought his son. He was actually speaking appreciatively. You see how virtuous Vasudeva is. But his friend said, how can you be so foolish? Actually, these gods, they are not at all trustworthy. That is, they were not trustworthy, Kamsa was not trustworthy. The nature of the world is how we are, we think everyone else is like that. So they thought these gods are not trustworthy. They said that the eighth son will kill you, but who knows, the first son may also kill you. So Kamsa was a little skeptical. At that time, another of his associates picked up a flower. And he said, look at this flower. How many petals are there? Kamsa looked at it, counted, 8 petals. So he said, which is the first petal among these? So you can call this the first, I can count from here and this will be the 8th. So like that, the gods will fool you. The first son can become the 8th son and the 8th son can become the first son. So he said, just finish off all the sons. And when Kamsa was maddened like this, he just went on a rampage. He went to Vasudeva's house, grabbed the son and brutally slammed him on the ground and killed him. Devaki was horrified. Vasudeva was filled with anger, at the same time was helpless. This is Kamsa had grabbed power. He knew that he could just simply kill Vasudeva's son. So before he came there, he orchestrated a coup, overthrew his father, grabbed power, and he brought the whole royal might to bear on Vasudev. Not only was Vasudev's son killed, but then he put Vasudev in jail, in the cellar. And Vasudev and Devaki were imprisoned. And he waited. Now he decided that actually the gods had incited him, his associates incited him such a way that the gods, they had made a prophecy that her eighth son will kill you. He said that I will show my prowess that I will prove the gods wrong. So earlier he had thought of killing Devaki, but Vasudeva had stopped him. But now his arrogance had become such that you have defeated the gods earlier. Kamsa had fought and defeated the higher beings, but now he said you can falsify their words. So now he didn't try to kill Devaki. He thought that let Devaki have her child and I will kill the child. So he let Vasudev and Devaki stay together, and while staying together, they lived together and they begot one child. Now they knew that as soon as the son would be born, that son would be grabbed by Kamsa and would be brutally killed. Now why would they go on begetting children like this if they knew their children were going to die? They did that because they knew that at the end of that dark tunnel there was light. They knew that if a celestial voice had spoken that through the eighth child there will be deliverance, then surely that deliverance would occur. So they knew that their sons would be killed, but they agreed to that. And every child that would be born, Kamsa would ruthlessly kill that child. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. 6 years they were in jail, and they would have a child and the child would be killed. And then finally, the seventh child was to be born. At that time, something mysterious happened. Kamsa had kept them under house arrest. At the same time, he had kept a constant vigilant watch. So when he knew that Devaki was going to beget a child, at that time he was waiting, when will the child be born? And in the 7th month of her pregnancy, one night Devaki was sleeping, and suddenly she felt as if the child from her womb is disappearing. And she woke up and she felt her belly was empty. She looked around and she realized the child had disappeared. So that child, by the arrangement of the Lord, by a higher arrangement, was transported. The world thought that she simply had a miscarriage and her child was lost. But this child was Balaram. And Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, he was mystically transported from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Now, Vasudev had several queens. Now, Rohini was another one of his queens. Because Kamsa felt the threat was from Devaki, so he had arrested Vasudev and Devaki. Now, Rohini had been staying in a palace, but Vasudev sent a message to Rohini that this Kamsa cannot be trusted. Therefore, he arranged for one of his trusted associates to provide her a horse. And before Vasudev had been arrested, at that time Rohini had become pregnant, and she was a few months pregnant when secretly one night, as per Vasudev's guidance, she got on a horse and she left Mathura. And she travelled through the night and she came to Vrindavan, to Gokul Mahavan actually, where Nanda Maharaj was staying. Now, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, they were cousins. And Nanda Maharaj welcomed them, welcomed Rohini. And this Rohini, who was, when she, when the child who left the womb of Devaki, he was transported to the womb of Rohini. And he stayed in the womb of Rohini for many, many months. And in Gokul Mahavan in Vrindavan, that was where Balaram was born. But in the meanwhile, it appeared as if Krishna, as if Vasudeva had lost the seventh child through miscarriage. And then when the eighth child was to be born, at that time, Devaki suddenly became effulgent. Her whole body lit. All this time, because one after one, her sons had been killed. She had been very morose. If she had just a newly married bride, and just when she's about to begin her new life, instead of going to a palace with her husband, she is sent to a prison. And she was morose. But even without understanding why, suddenly jubilation started coming within her. Started feeling cheerful, jubilant. And as she was jubilant like this, at that time she started understanding that there is the promised Lord. The promised child is going to appear. He is going to be our deliverer. When Kamsa would come to see her, he was surprised. Earlier she was so fearful, but now her whole complexion has changed. He started becoming even more apprehensive. What is happening? And at that time, as the pregnancy came towards its end, towards the delivery, it was deep in the night. Krishna was in that dark cellar. That is where at midnight he appeared. Now God is the supreme light. This world is a place of darkness. But Krishna appeared in the dark of the prison cell. And not just the dark of the prison cell, he appeared in the darkness of the night at midnight. Actually, Krishna's appearance, as soon as he appeared, Rochayitami, the whole cellar, the whole prison cell became effulgent by his light. And he appeared not like a child who was crying. No. Devaki, she was just observing as if in a dream, and suddenly the child appeared in front of her. And he was fully dressed, decorated, ornamented. He had fully grown hair. And he appeared not with two arms, but with four arms. He appeared in the form of Vishnu. And as Devaki and Vasudeva saw this child, they were astonished. They were struck with amazement and wonder. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they started offering prayers to Krishna. Normally, when a child is born, the parents offer prayers to God. Please protect this child. But here God himself had appeared. And when he appeared, they were so astounded that although they were still in the prison cell, all the darkness was dissipated. And at that time, the guards who were there in the prison cell, when a child would appear, the first thing the child does is cry. So they were not immediately in the vicinity, but their ears were there. They hear a child crying, then they would come. But this child did not cry at all. Krishna appeared in the middle of the night, illuminating the night and illuminating the cell where it was completely dark. At that time when Krishna appeared, Vasudeva and Devaki, after offering prayers, Devaki at one level, she was jubilant to see this child. And when she saw this child in this magnificent form, it was Vishnu himself with all the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. She saw that, she was astonished. But then she had her maternal affection. Thinking, this child, how will I protect him? Where will I hide him? If Kamsa sees that this is a celestial child, this is a divine child, he will surely kill him. So, she said, oh Krishna, oh, Oh, divine child, oh Krishna, please make this form unmanifest. Please appear like an ordinary child. And then I'll be able to hide you. Now, she out of her motherly affection was thinking that she will protect Krishna. Although it was Krishna who was going to protect her, and Krishna was going to protect everyone. So Krishna, still, he to oblige her, he spoke to her, he said, have no fear. No. In a previous life, both of you had performed great austerities and you wanted to have me as your son. And I told you that I will appear to you in a future life. Our relationship goes on for many, many lifetimes. In many previous lives, you have been my parents, I have been your son. Have no fear. Just as in the past, I appeared and I freed you from anxiety, now also I will free you from anxiety. And as he spoke like this, he changed his form. And that Lord was in a divine form, four-handed. He suddenly became like a small, helpless child. And he, before doing like this, before changing his form to a small, helpless child, he turned towards Vasudeva and told him that it is your responsibility. You take care of me. You are my father. And Vasudeva, at that time, within his heart, got an idea that let me take Krishna to Vrindavan. Where my other wife Rohini is there, let me take Krishna there. And thus, as soon as Krishna came in his two-handed form, as a small baby, Vasudeva took Krishna and decided to go to Vrindavan. Now for Vasudeva, this was a very difficult thing to do. This was the child who was going to be the deliverer, finally has appeared, but now he has to send this child away. Take this child away, in fact. But by Krishna's mystical potency, because it was night, the guards were supposed to be awake, but the guards fell asleep. And not only the guards fell asleep, he had been shackled, but his shackles opened. The prison doors opened. And Vasudeva started going out, marching through the night. And as he was marching, suddenly rain started coming. Now we are just having gentle rains. That time there were heavy rains. And as Vasudeva was concerned, this is a small newborn child, requires so much care in the stormy weather, what will happen? But as the child was, as he started moving, he came towards the river. In between Mathura and Vrindavan is the river Jamuna. I was thinking, how will I go through this river? As he was about to enter into the river, suddenly he found the rain had stopped. He looked around, the rain seemed to be there. But he looked up and he saw as if there was a huge umbrella. Actually, what had happened? Sheshanag, Ananta Shesh, who is the bed of Vishnu, who is on whom Vishnu rests, he had appeared over there. Krishna, who just never comes alone, although he appears alone, but his associates are always there with him. So Sheshanag sheltered Krishna as through the stormy weather. Now Vasudeva didn't understand this is Shesha. He has thought, somehow the rains have stopped, somehow the rains are not falling. He was so much focused on getting the Vrindavan, he did not think, as long as I am able to move on, let me move on. And as he was moving through the Jamuna, suddenly it happened that the Jamuna's wave started rising more and more. Now he was carrying the child with him, holding on tightly to his bosom. But now, as the water started rising, he picked up the child, put him on his head, and holding him high up, even if I get wet, let my child not get wet. But as the wave started rising, the wave started hitting him, he started shaking. And now he was holding on to Krishna. He was scared. What if Krishna falls away? The waves were forcefully coming and he was holding on, again steadying himself. But another wave would hit him. The waves were rising, rising, rising. Now he was raising his hand high up to try to make sure that Krishna was protected. And the waves were rising. Now the acharyas explain the Krishna Leela has been commented on by many great saintly acharyas. They said that Yamuna is also a devotee of Krishna. And she recognized this was her Lord over here. So she wanted to touch the feet of Krishna. And the more Vasudev raised his hand, Yamuna started rising higher and higher. And when Vasudev started going in such anxiety, somehow trying to raise Krishna as high as he could. Now Yamuna did not want to submerge Vasudev. Because when he was making the baby so high up, so she didn't want to submerge Vasudev. So what did she do at that time? She suddenly produced a huge wave, a very forceful wave. And that wave hit Vasudev. And as that wave hit Vasudev with such force, that Krishna slipped from his hand. And Vasudev regained his footing. And he was horrified, where is Krishna? And he turned around and he couldn't see Krishna. And he was grasping, oh, Krishna fell here, Krishna fell here, Krishna fell here. Just grasping in the water, couldn't find Krishna anywhere. He's horrified, what has happened to my child? Where has he gone? Thinking like this, he just became panicky. All the years and years and years of great austerity and torment that he had endured just so that Krishna would appear. And now, because of his carelessness, Krishna was lost. He was beating himself up in the mind. How could I let Krishna slip? But in the meanwhile, Yamuna, she was doing the abhishek of Krishna. She was bathing Krishna beautifully. She wanted to just touch Krishna's feet, but now she could touch Krishna's whole body. And as she completed the abhishek of Krishna, then suddenly she made Krishna visible. And Vasudev, he had been searching for Krishna. And he thought that Krishna must have drowned now. Where is he gone? And then suddenly he saw Krishna just peacefully floating on the top of Yamuna. He immediately grabbed Krishna. And look, and Krishna seemed perfectly fine. And he picked him up and took him to Vrindavan. And there he delivered Krishna in the care of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Because it was night, they did not understand what had happened. But Krishna was delivered. And in this way, that same Lord who appeared in Mathura, he went to Vrindavan. On the day of his birth, there was this traumatic journey. And Vasudev would have to wait for nearly a decade more before Krishna would come back and Krishna would deliver him from the tyranny of Kamsa. But the day Krishna appeared, from that day, Vasudev, whatever fear he had, whatever apprehension he had, that disappeared. That apprehension was replaced by anticipation. Yes, Krishna is going to come. Krishna is going to deliver me. Krishna is going to deliver Devaki. And Krishna is going to reinstate all of us in our glory. If he is our Lord, and although they were his parents, they knew Krishna was the Lord and Krishna would be delivering us. So all this happened tonight. Thousands of years ago, Krishna appeared in the prison cell today. And it was at night itself Vasudev made this journey. The Krishna Leela is described primarily in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is an itihas. That means it is a narrative that is based on history. However, it is not just historical. It is also eternal. And what happens in Krishna Leela also is meant to happen in our own hearts. So Devaki, she had six sons. And those six sons were killed brutally. After that, there was a seventh son. And then Krishna was the eighth son. So the acharyas describe that these six sons who were killed, they are like the shad ripus, the six enemies that are there in our heart. All of us, as I said, Krishna is there in our hearts with us. We are also here. But our consciousness is turned away from Krishna. And it's turned away because of six inner forces. They are lust, anger, greed, envy, pride and illusion. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. And these act like a wall between us and Krishna. And these need to be removed from the heart. So Devaki is losing those six sons represents that just as in Devaki's movement in her heart, Krishna eventually appeared. Similarly, Krishna will appear in our hearts also. But for that, Devaki had to lose those six sons. So similarly, the lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion that are there in our hearts, they, when they are removed from the heart, then the heart becomes ready for Krishna to manifest. And then, it is Balaram who appeared over there. Balaram is the Guru Tattva. He is the spiritual master. And the spiritual master appears in our hearts. The spiritual master gives us guidance. And by that guidance, when we practice bhakti, make our heart devotional. Just as Balaram prepared the womb of Devaki for Krishna to appear. Similarly, the spiritual master prepares our heart by which Krishna can appear. So for us, when we Devaki, she had to go through a long night of torment when she was in jail and her sons were being killed. We don't have to go through such difficulty. Like such extreme difficulty. But whatever difficulties we have to face in our life, you know, Krishna, we know that at the end of it all, Krishna is going to appear in our hearts. Krishna is going to enrich our lives. And Krishna is going to elevate us to life and love eternal. So that appearance of Krishna is not just a historical event. That happened long, long ago. The appearance of Krishna is an event that is meant to happen in our own hearts. And on the special days like Janmashtami, when the whole atmosphere is permeated with sanctity, because this was the day when Krishna appeared. On this day when we pray to Krishna, we invoke His presence in our hearts with sincere devotion, begging Him, please, O Lord, appear in my heart. Purify my heart of everything else. Let me become devoted to You alone. Then Krishna will appear in our hearts and He will enrich us with the devotion that will satisfy all our longings for love, all our longings for joy. That is life's supreme perfection. So that Krishna, He is the Lord who appeared today. And let us pray to Him now. And today at midnight, when He will make His appearance, that may He appear in our hearts and remove all auspiciousness from there and enrich our hearts and life with pure eternal love for Him. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsav ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Hai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.